Everything should be up. The only risk we run is that it might be too loud. That's the only thing we need to be aware of. This one is the center mic on the platform. Mm-hmm. Two is this table over here. Six is the other table. Yep. Three is timekeeper. Yep. It's a little wireless mic down in the audience. Yep. Yep. Yeah, you can just go reach over there and back it up a little bit. Yep. If you don't, I can reach over too. I just don't want you to think I'm swinging at you or something. That's it. Fair enough. Check, check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Check, check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Oh, yeah, it'll be fine. All right. I assume at this point, because, of course, I only have one-way communication, we should be at the studio right now, and you should have me on auxiliary, and the volume pod up on auxiliary so you're hearing it, and then what we're going to do is I will give you a countdown. And on three, I'll pause, and then you can do the switch. It'll be right about now in 3, 2, 1.
Guys, at this time, we'd like to ask all of the judge executive candidates to step back to where Teresa Dawes is. We're going to give everybody a few minutes to get settled, and then we're going to get started.
And, of course, folks, you are listening to us live. My name is Ethan. I'm with WSKB Radio right here in Stanton, Kentucky, and, of course, studios in Irvine. We are going to be bringing you the live. It's not a debate tonight, all right, just so you know. It's more of a town hall setting with questions that you folks have written in and said that you wanted us to ask the candidates. So tonight we are going to be, of course, hearing from each of the judge executive candidates in Estill County is who we're hearing from tonight. So, again, we are so glad that you've joined us this evening, and we're looking forward to a great broadcast. Of course, we are live for this broadcast, so there may be some pauses. I'll try and jump in with a little extra commentary if I have some. Other than that, I'm going to be chilling here and trying to bring the best coverage that I possibly can to you. Now, I do know that tonight's coverage is also going to be aired live on Facebook stream, is the plan. You should be able to go to the Estill County Actioneers page and be live here in a few minutes on there as well. So, again, we're looking forward to tonight's festivities. Going to be a lot of questions and a lot of information. And, of course, here at WSKB, we definitely admonish everybody to be informed when it comes to voting. In fact, I was talking to one of the candidates here in Estill County earlier today and had lunch with him. And we were discussing how cool it would be if everything on a local county level actually was nonpartisan. Because when we're going to the ballot box here locally, a lot of times it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican or a Green Party or whatever you are. It just matters where you stand with your family and with your community and with the folks around you and want to move forward your community. And most of the time, that's not a Democrat or Republican agenda at all. Most of the time, it's just good sense and morality and things like that. And again, those are highly valued in these local communities. That's why it's so important to know who you're voting for. And it looks like we're getting ready to go live here in just a moment. Again, do appreciate Caitlin there in the studio helping with the live broadcast here this evening. Now, we do have 3 hours blocked out, but we're expecting a two-hour program. Here's Lindsay.
All right. Good evening, everybody. I am Lindsay Rogers, and on behalf of the Estill County Public Library and Estill Action Group, welcome to tonight's candidate forum featuring the Estill County Judge Executive Candidates. I would also like to acknowledge the cooperation and support of our community. Tribune, Wallingford Media Group, and Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Tonight we are hosting the first of five forums leading up to the May primary. We appreciate each candidate's willingness to participate, and we thank each voter who has taken the time to come out tonight to hear what these candidates have to say. Whether you are here in person on Facebook Live or tuning in on our local radio stations, we thank you guys. Our timekeeper is Mr. Ian Moores. Ian, if you could stand up. Ian has lived in Estill County for almost 10 years. He and his wife, Katie, have two daughters, and he is currently a board member for the Estill Development Alliance. Thank you, Ian, for serving as timekeeper this evening. I'd like to introduce John Perrin. He is a resident of Richmond, Kentucky, where he works at the Eastern Kentucky University Dual Credit Program. John is a Lancaster native and graduated from EKU in 2015 with a bachelor's in economics. He served for 3 years in the EKU Student Government Association, including a term as chair of the Elections Committee. In 2017, John graduated from the Martin School at the University of Kentucky with a master's degree in public administration. And thank you, John, for agreeing to moderate the first of our candidate forums. And now we will welcome John.
And again, you are listening to the public forum for the judge executive candidates here on WSKB.
Thank you, Lindsay. Before we start, please note that the event sponsors and partners are conducting these forums as a community service and are not publicly endorsing any candidate tonight. This forum is for the county judge executive, who is the chief executive of the county and shall have all the powers and perform all the duties of an executive administrative nature. They provide for the execution of all ordinances and resolutions of the fiscal court, execute all contracts entered into by the fiscal court, and provide for the execution of all laws by the state subject to enforcement by the themselves or the officers who are under his direction and supervision. So they also prepare and submit to the fiscal court for approval an administrative code incorporating the details of administrative procedure for the operation of the county and review such code and suggest revisions periodically. They furnish the fiscal court with information concerning the operations of the county departments, boards, or commissions. They keep the fiscal court fully advised as to the financial condition and needs of the county and make such other reports from time to time as are required by the fiscal court or as they deem necessary. Tonight, we ask you to keep in mind that all cell phones be silenced or turned off during the forum. We ask that audience members be respectful of the facilities here tonight and refrain from bringing food or drink into the auditorium. If you need to use the restrooms are located outside the auditorium doors and to the left. Please be respectful at all times. Verbal attacks on speakers by audience members or by other candidates will not be tolerated. We ask that audience members refrain from talking loudly or calling out during the forum. School board policy requires that no materials endorsing any candidate be displayed or distributed on school property. When we start, the order in which the candidates speak tonight will be determined by a random drawing. Once the candidate order is determined, candidates will be introduced and then given 5 minutes in which to speak about their candidacy. At no time during this forum should a speaker refer to opposing candidates or opposing parties during their speech. This forum is not a debate. During each speech, the moderator will indicate when the speaker has 2 minutes remaining, and then I'll signal when time is up as well. Once every candidate has spoken, all candidates will have an opportunity to draw and answer as questions submitted by the public and then pass that question to the rest of the field of candidates. Each candidate's response will be limited to 1 minute, and candidates may answer questions in the order in which their names were originally drawn. With that, I'll go ahead and draw the names of the candidates for tonight. When you come up here, you'll sit in the order that your name is drawn. Be sure when you come up that you come through the middle of the table and not around, because we've got cords for the microphones. Also, whenever you're speaking tonight, be sure that you speak clearly into the microphone so that we can hear you. The first candidate will be Donnie Watson. Come on up. The next candidate is Joseph Glenn Lambert. Then we have Kevin Williams. James Walters. Gary Powell. Thomas Hart. Dwight Richardson. And Rhonda Childers.
And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, this is the Estill County Public Forum for the judge executive candidates, both parties. They are not endorsing either party tonight. They just want you to be an informed voter here in Estill County.
Thank you all. With that, I would like to introduce Donnie Watson to introduce himself. Yes. Yes, sir. You'll have 5 minutes. I'll let you know when there's 2 minutes left, and then I'll let you know when your time is up.
Stick a chewing gum right here.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, let me, those are questions.
Fold it.
Yeah, I'll need that. Oh, I'm sorry. That's okay. Yeah. All
right. Well, he's already introduced me, so I'll just tear loose. That's all right. I've served two non-consecutive terms as Estill County Judge Executive. I'm familiar with the office. I know how it functions and know how the county budget process works. I presented 8 budgets to the fiscal court, balanced budgets. We live with those budgets. We didn't go over the budget. And I retired from train in 2012. And didn't like retirement, so I went back to work. I spent almost 6 years at the Toler Funeral Home and also driving school bus the last 4. Retirement wasn't what I thought it would be when I looked forward to it all those years, and then I got there and I didn't like it. But anyway, I wanted to cover a few things that I did as county judge. During my term, we fingerprinted all the kids in the schools, all the kids that the parents wanted fingerprinted. We cleaned up the roadside dumps scattered all throughout our county that was on all the county roads. We established a youth center at the Ravenna Old Armory Building, created the Estill County Industrial Development Corporation, and land was acquired for an industrial park from Southeast Coal Company. As a result, Carhartt built a new factory there. They're still here. We had the first animal shelter, dog pound, right across the road here. Worked on water line extensions to Tipton Ridge, Furnace, and Cobb Hill. We had an agreement with the National Forest Service where they logged and took the log money to build a road from Marble Yard to Chestnut Stand. We built a Head Start Center, Senior Citizens Center, which is still in use. The Head Start Center, I understand, has been sold to the Extension Service. We started the recycling program. We started the 911 emergency call system. We built the first helipad for a helicopter to come in and move extremely ill or injured patients to Lexington area hospitals more quickly. And that was a joint effort by the City of Urban and the county. We got the funding and city furnished the land. The jail was closed by the Kentucky Corrections Cabinet, and we built a new jail, which has since been closed again. We put a solid waste committee together and were able to get a 10-year host community agreement with the landfill to protect our county from unwanted waste and from certain waste products that have been brought in. We also had a certified landfill monitor who inspected the landfill on a regular basis. There were cameras at the entrance to the landfill, which are no longer there. We met once a month the Estill County Development Corporation did to discuss problems that were over the county and what we saw needed to be done. And we came up with the bypass and the new bridge, the road That road project, it was done after I left office, three lanes of River Drive, that was in the plans. I took those to Frankfort in 1984. You can look in the court order book. On November the 30th, 1984, I took it to the fiscal court, got it approved. The road plans, roads that's been built out here on Winchester Road right now was taken to Frankfort to Otto Ingram, who was the state highway road commissioner. And I gave those to him, and those are being built right. This road plan right now, road that's been done, was taken in 1984. So anyway, we didn't sit around. We worked. I don't have to prove that I'm capable of running the office. I did run the office for 8 years, ran it efficiently, and didn't run it in the ground, didn't bankrupt the county. And I can stand on my own record. And if I'm elected, I'll run it again just like I run it then, by the law and according to the budget. And I'll take care of your money and your tax dollars, and they won't be wasted.
25 seconds.
Pardon?
20 seconds.
20 seconds. And I might add, I'm in good health, don't take no medicine, and I thank God for that. And I'm ready to serve, and I probably got as much energy as any of these young people. Thank you. May God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Watson. Our next candidate is Joseph Glenn Lambert.
And again, folks, if you're just tuning in, this is the Estill County Judge Executive race.
I was born and raised here in Estill County. I'm Joseph Lambert. I've been here for 45 years. Been raised up in these roads.
Get to the mic.
Okay. I'm new at this. But my name is Joseph Grim Lambert, and I also lived here for 45 years in Estill County. I know what these roads were back in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and 2000s. So I know all these roads real well, and they all need to be fixed. But it takes time, and then we have to get grants to get them fixed, and then get the jail opened back up, or that the county can have the jail opened up to where we can have their opponents, their county, to do what we need to do. We need all of our supporters to take and help support the school system for educational people, because I know I went to high school here at Estill County till the 10th grade, and I quit because my family split up and everything, and I had to do stuff on my own, had to learn how to do work on my own, do everything I can do. And a lot of people have helped me out a whole lot. And I've tried to get everything done. If I get in the office, I will have all the roads real well done. There will be paint lines on the roads where you all can see them, and there will be everything that can be done, just taxpayers. And I keep all y'all's money where you be safe and use the grants out of Frankfort instead of taking borrowing money from the county and the county getting debt and state getting debt and stuff like that. We don't need that here. We need to get our county straightened up, get it back on track. And that's all I got to say.
Still have 3 minutes.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, this is the Estill County Forum. This is both Republicans and Democrats on the ticket, and independents if they are running.
Next, I'd like to welcome Kevin Williams.
And you are listening to WSKV 14.9 live on site.
Good evening, everyone. Kevin Williams. Probably a lot of you know me, been around for 53 years. I've always been dedicated to the community. I was appointed county judge executive. I've been serving since January 1st. This is my 80th day of serving. It's kind of wild that it worked out like this. We're making progress. Trust me, we are making progress. I feel like I'm on a rescue mission. My background is public safety. I've been a firefighter, retired firefighter, volunteered around here all my life with the rescue squad, volunteer fire departments, the Mountain Mushroom Festival, and also served 3 terms as a magistrate here in the county. So, you know, I've got a lot of experience. I own a business. that I basically walked away from in Corbin to do this because I was concerned about my community. You know, I want to see this community survive. And, you know, it's a big undertaking. And it's not an 8-hour-a-day job. You know, this has been 80 days of worrying. And it's tough. But we're making strides. We've got our, you know, I inherited, and the court, present court, you know, about $1.6, $1.7 million worth of debt service. That's a huge undertaking to try to figure out how to keep the lights on. But we're doing it. We're working outside the box. We made some cuts. A person told me the other day, said, Kevin, why'd you do this for? You know, it's political suicide. It's community. You know, I think we're better together. It's kind of a rescue mission. And, you know, that's kind of what my background is. So a lot of things that are going on in the county or that used to go on in the county, you know, we've had to cut back. I'll just be quite honest with you. A lot of the phone calls that I field, I hate telling people that, you know, we'll try. You know, my father was mayor for years, and he always told me never make a promise. I always just say you'll try. You know, I'm sitting here, I get a little bit emotional because I worry about my county. I worry about my community. I worry about my nephews and my kin folks and all you people. You know, this is a heck of an undertaking. And I don't think maybe all of us realize, you know, the challenges that we've got ahead of us as a county. There may be more cuts. You know, my mission right now is to get us through the end of the fiscal year, which ends in June. It's tough. You know, we've made cuts. We've cut our jail staff down. We've single sourced all of our prisoners in Lee County. You know, now we paid almost $300,000 worth of jail bills 2 weeks ago. We've paid probably around $600,000 worth of debt to local vendors, local people, and we're still setting it about $1.2 million to pay off, but we're getting there. You know, every day we're making strides. I've had over 90 something meetings since I've taken office. We're reestablishing our contacts in Frankfort. Frankfort has actually come down to Estill County. I've had to go to Frankfort 2 times. Through the years of being involved in politics and being in Frankfort and working with the different administrations over the year, I still have old contacts, and those have been very, very helpful. So I guess what I'm wanting everybody to do is just, you know, keep the faith. You know, together on this, we're all better. Divided, we fall. And I understand every day it's your money. It's my money. And so I run it like a business. I'm not there for a popularity contest. I'm there to turn and upright a sunken ship. So I would appreciate it if, you know, everybody has patience. It's tough calls. I'm just going to tell you, there's things that we have to make decisions on I don't like, but we've got to run it like a business. And, you know, that's just the facts. So I appreciate everybody coming. I appreciate your support. I really have a no platform. My platform is to rescue this county. Thank you all.
Next, we'll welcome Mr. James Walters.
And again, folks, you're listening to the live open forum in Estill County.
First thing is I want to thank Connie, Kathy, and everyone that's had anything to do with putting this on. And as I said 4 years ago, what a place, what a place. Herman, what could we have done in 63 with this? Herman Conrad, a fellow graduate of 1963, and he is just one of them that have been very successful coming out of Estill County. Those that were with me in 1963, I can recall James Lonnie Thomas, probably most of you know him here, best friend I ever had. Patricia Newton, and the reason I'm mentioning these is they were fellow National Honor Society people with me who encouraged me, being the eighth of 11 children born to Beverly Cutter Walters and Edna Tipton Walters. The first one to graduate high school. I didn't know what education. There was no emphasis. They raised 10 children on a fourth and fifth grade education. So education wasn't a requirement. They did that on their own, so why did I need it? Why did any of the rest of us? But Dad was strong. He encouraged us. He taught us good life teachings to respect everyone, and also not just the person, but to respect what they had. If he'd have called us disrespecting an elder, brother, I don't think we'd have had much skin left. Through it all, I graduated, like I say, in 1963 here, member of the National Honor Society with a 3.69 grade point average. And contrary to what some think, no, I'm not a stupid, dumb man. Lived in Dayton, Ohio for 42 years. Retired from Printed Air after 32 years there. Became a licensed plumber. Ran my own business for the next 5 years in the plumbing, and then went into real estate, which is another similar situation. You're managing your own business. If you don't get out there and do it, you don't make the money. But I can't claim the fame that some of them have, that they have done. I just have some things that I jotted down that would be on the agenda if elected. But I would like to just go a little bit on what Kevin said there about getting along. I would encourage tonight, I'll make an offer, regardless of who wins this, each one of us have something that we think we can contribute. So if it's me, I'm going to ask each one of you, get in there with me, help me, help me, help the people. That's who we're serving, not ourselves. So that's an open invitation. And being I am the old senior handicapped person, you can start off tonight by each one of you pledging me about 200 votes apiece. How about that? You don't like that? No, but there are several things I just jotted down, like I said. Number one, we know we have to have jobs here. We turn our kids loose out of school. What is it to do? And if we don't start marketing this place, which I think is a beautiful county, I think we have assets here that just have never, ever been approached. Some of those would be the river. That has to be an asset to us in commerce, if we could even talk about it and bring it up, put it on the table. Let's see what can be done dredging that river, opening it up, for it's a benefit to us. The jail issue, I think we need to address that. Do it on my recommendation would be a look at a part-time solution or part-time help, and then look at a long-term solution, which personally I would like to see it moved out of there into the county with an up-to-date complex and building. Okay, thank you.
Next up is Gary W. Powell.
And again, folks, you're listening live here on Pickup Country 104.9.
My name is Gary Powell. I've lived here all my life, but most people here just, they kind of think of us as the guys plays with old cars. But we have many, many years of running companies all over the world. We set up 7 companies, one in Ireland, New Mexico. We wouldn't go to Mexico, Boston, Pennsylvania. So we've been involved in a lot of huge, big companies. I own 2 companies right now of my own. So I'm coming to this with a huge business background. I'm not a politician. You'll hear the way I talk. I don't do politics. We're right now in the process of trying to work a deal with the railroad. We bring product out of California. I have to put it on a truck. They haul it to the railroad, load the trailer. We have to send it to Chicago. We got a railroad here. So we're in the process right now trying to work with those guys to actually get us a unloading facility here. And that will be huge if we can get it done. Also, I've been a member of God's Outreach program in Madison County for 13 years. It's a huge food bank. And we're actually merging it into Estill County. We're in the process right now. We should sign a lease on a building probably Saturday. Madison County alone, we brought in a little over $3 million worth of food product in one county, 1 year. I mean, we're not a small, so we're actually implemented into the county. It will be huge for this county. We do, right now, I think around 2,000 walk-ins a month. We do a 2,700 backpack programs a month. We do the schools in Madison County. We've already talked to the schools here. We're going to implement the same program here. And I think we do like 4,800 senior citizens. So, I mean, besides owning my own companies, we do a lot of side programs and stuff, you know, to benefit the, like Madison County plus here. But, you know, me knowing business-wise, right now, what does Estill County have to actually offer a business to come here? We don't have anything. The tax rates are so high. I mean, it almost pushes people out. You got the landfill on one side, you got the ordinance on the other side. We have to come up with something to offer these companies some reason to come here. And without, if you look at the population, we've been declining in population. We're not going up. We're declining. We have probably 4,700 people that's at poverty level or below in this county. We're 28% poverty level. Why? We have nothing to offer. There's no jobs. So where's everybody going to go? What we're going to do? So we have to start implementing something in this county to try to bring jobs, to try to get these people off poverty level. I mean, it's just unreal. And right now, the food banks and stuff here, we appreciate them. They're doing the best they can do, but they're doing probably about 400 out of 4,700 people. That's the reason we're implementing it. I mean, we're bringing it here because of, you know, it really needs this program. But, you know, like I said, my background is business. And it'll be business only. I don't care. If I could have run as an independent and got elected, I would have run as an independent. I don't care what party it is. And when I go out campaigning, I don't ask you if you're a Democrat or Republican. I ask you for your help. And that's what I'm doing. I'm asking for everybody's help to help me bring something back to this county. If you'll go back and you look at the last 30 years, you tell me what we've done in this county in the last 30 years. To do something, you're not going to find much. The only big thing is the landfill, and what has it done for us? I mean, it's really helped us out, hasn't it? Money-wise, I mean, it helps the county, and the county ain't ever going to do nothing with it, because what's it going to do if it gets rid of it? It can't afford to run. So that's your big reason why you don't see the landfill doing anything. It ain't going nowhere because the county ain't going to push it out because it can't afford to push it out. But on my point of view, I look at it as just business only. I don't care who you are. It'll be run the most transparent as it can be. Thank you.
And, of course, you're listening to live broadcast coverage from the Powell County High School. Estill County High School, forgive me.
Next, we have Thomas Hart.
I am Tom Hart. I want to first thank all the folks that organized this forum tonight, and then thank the rest of you, everyone, for coming out and showing your interest and to be involved in this election cycle. To begin, my primary qualification for the position of Estill County Judge Executive is not that I was born here and raised here and I've lived here all my life, because I wasn't and I haven't. However, considering the steady decline of the population and fortunes of Estill County over the last 20-some years, perhaps it's time for someone with a broader vision and skill set to effectively lead and manage a turnaround in the county's future. And for that, I ask for your support. I'm a retired Air Force colonel with over 30 years commissioned service. In addition to assignments in aircraft maintenance, teaching ROTC, explosives and nuclear safety, Department of Defense level environmental program oversight, and Chief of Staff and Director of Operations for the National Committee for Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, I spent 6 years as a squadron commander of a 185-person civil engineer squadron, with performing duties directly akin to what the county judge executive does here, to include road building and repairs, utility maintenance and repairs, fire department supervision, and budgeting and financial controls. I hold a Bachelor of Science degree in Animal Science from the University of Kentucky, a Master of Science in Management from Troy State University in Alabama, a Master of Engineering and Industrial Engineering from Iowa State University, and a Doctorate of Education in Educational Leadership and Policy Studies from Eastern. In addition to complementing my military experience and my educational background, I spent 9 years in private industry as a quality assurance manager, a manufacturing manager, and a program manager. My wife Sarah and I moved to Estill County in 2005 on my retirement from the Air Force and her retirement from the Coast Guard Reserve and the Environmental Protection Agency. Since then, I've been actively engaged in the community through the education system, Boy Scouts, church activities, Past Master, the Urban Masonic Lodge, Estill County Cattlemen's Association, and as vice chair and chair of the Concerned Citizens of Estill County. Though not a county native, I'm well known, well respected across the county, and it greatly saddens me to see the county's continuing decline. Businesses are closing, no new businesses are coming in. We've got an aging population, lack of jobs, and the best and the brightest of our children leaving as soon as they come of age because there's no opportunity here. Those young people that do stay, they work in Berea, they work in Richmond, Lexington, Georgetown, Winchester, Mount Sterling, driving hours every day to go to work so they can stay here. It doesn't have to be that way. Estill County needs to do those things that are necessary to make it attractive to both businesses and families, where the county's population and economic well-being will continue to wither. I know how to build a strategic plan. I know how to manage the execution of the plan. I also know how to ask for assistance from outside agencies in developing and financing a viable plan. I'm a team builder, proven and successful hands-on leader. I ask that you allow me the privilege of serving Estill County as the county judge executive and leading this journey of economic revitalization. Thank you for your time.
And again, you're listening live at the Estill County High School here on WSKB 104.9.
Next, we have Dwight Richardson.
This is the first of several public forums that will be held here at the high school covering the folks running for office here in Estill County.
My name is Dwight Richardson, and I know a lot of you folks know me because of my job now at the Estill County Water District. I'm like probably the hardest thing of my job is doing something like this, public speaking. I was raised and was born in Estill County, and I was born to raised to work hard. My family worked hard. My father worked at Carhartt for over 40 years. My mother worked close to 20. I've got two daughters, and you probably see them out in public, you know, more than you would me. Usually I'm either working or I work on the farm. I've got my oldest daughter is Sydney Richardson. She'll be a graduate of the University of Kentucky in May. My youngest daughter is Carly Richardson. I'm married to Kim Richardson, and I'm not really a politician. I'm a hard worker and I'm honest. And the things that I see that Estill County needs is Estill County needs to turn into to be more of a working community, to train the kids. We have no block layers, no house, no framers. Kids are just seem like they're not interested in that, and I would hope that the new vocational school might bring some change to that. The most people that I know that does construction work in this county are older people that's done it for a long time. No younger kids are getting into it. I think education is a great thing, and I've got a daughter that's done real well, and I know some other people, you know, that has too, but it's probably not for everybody. I would like to see kids that can learn to do the job I've got. I'm 50 years old. I'm a distribution manager for the Estill County Water District, and it's hard for me to see. I know there's young people out there, but it's hard for me to see people that wants to get in a ditch, work in the mud, work in the freezing rain or whatever to keep people's water on. There's not a lot of kids that's getting that kind of training or that has that work ethic that's been instituted into them. No matter who's county judge or who gets elected here, whether it's me or any of the other people, I will still work with the county judge. If I'm not elected, I'll have to work with them, and you've been lucky that I haven't been knocking on your door, but I work well with others. I will bring honesty to the job, and I think anybody that knows me knows that. I think as far as the jail issue, I think there should be something implemented in to where that some of the people that's in jail for fines could be out cleaning the roadsides off. I think it's a shame we're paying people $15, $20 an hour when we could get one guy to oversee them and let them work off a day's labor. It'll be 2 days off their time. That's that much less time that we're paying to keep them incarcerated somewhere. And I'm sure a lot of them, if they just owe fines and stuff, they would be glad to do that. Far as business and stuff in Estill County, I think we need to focus a lot on small business, bring advertisement, whatever we can, to whatever type, if it's a restaurant business, if it's a bed and breakfast, whatever, anything to bring, because I think small business is our best opportunity. I think if a factory would come in here, I think that'd be great. From what I hear right now, Carhartt is having trouble keeping employees to keep their operations going. So I think that's another thing I would refer back to is training the younger generation to work and more get their hands on. If college is good and I'm fine with it. There's a lot of kids that need some type of training to get back into the workforce. And I don't think we have it here, and I hope that the new vocational school will bring something to that. I feel like that when the shop classes and the mechanical classes and stuff went out of the high schools, I think it really hurt. And I don't think we have that much. We don't put that much emphasis in on it. I will guarantee you, if I'm elected, I'll be a hardworking judge. I'll be a full-time judge. And I will promise you that I will be honest and your money will be spent. I've done it with the Estill County Water District when I started in 2007. And I know the county judge's job is very important. Thank you.
Again, our timekeeper this evening is Mr. Ian Morse.
Next, we have Rhonda Childers.
And you are listening live here on Pickup Country 104.9. We are live at the Estill County High School for the Judge Executive Forum.
Good evening. I'm Rhonda Stone Childers, and I want to be your next Estill County Judge Executive. I got into this race because I was discouraged with business as usual. Our county is mired in a financial crisis that borders on financial ruin. When I talk with people, I hear, how did this happen? What are we going to do to stop this? How can we fix it? But I don't hear a whole lot of answers. We have an addiction crisis that's threatening the very foundation of our community, our families. We have an economy that's been in decline and a shrinking tax base. We have a federal and state government who hands us the answer, well, sorry, we can't afford you anymore. Do the best you can. We have illegally dumped radioactive waste in the landfill located in our school's front yard. And we have the company who allowed it to happen telling us they're not going to do anything about it. We can't afford business as usual anymore. We need a new direction. We're facing these many challenges and more. But Estill County is also in a unique position to overcome these challenges and to move forward. It's a great time to be local. I believe that truly with all of my heart. Whenever you talk with folks from cities, what do they always talk about they want? They want a safe place for their kids to grow up. They want schools where they know the teachers and they trust them. They want an affordable home. They want rewarding work, a welcoming church, community activities that they can participate in. They want to go to the grocery store. They want to go to their favorite restaurant. They want to see their neighbors that they can talk to and laugh with and know that they have their backs. Guess what? Estill County has all of that and more. We have incredible beauty, natural resources, local talent, savvy business people, engaged citizens. And we're the place where the bluegrass kisses the mountains. We're the gateway. This is not something that's unnoticed. We're surrounded by potential partners looking for answers, and Estill County can be that answer. This is our ticket to the future. We're also seeing a wave of excitement that I don't remember ever seeing. If we want to keep this wave of excitement and enthusiasm going and allow it to continue to grow and wash over our community and bring in growth and prosperity, we can't afford business as usual. We must have a new direction. When we talk about local economy, we always wind up talking about the lack of industry. But I'll tell you right now, Estill County has got industry. We have got industry in the form of small business, industry in the form of tourism, industry in the form of agriculture and in service. That's the kind of industry that is available for us, and it can grow our economy and it can sustain our citizens and our county. When we talk about small industry and the lack of small industry, what we really need is a judge executive who is industrious and who is willing to go beyond business as usual and plant the seeds that will support the growth that we need to continue. And we see it starting to happen. As your judge executive, I promise to bring the skills I have learned in my many years of nonprofit work to the office with me every day. Building and maintaining budgets made up of millions of dollars of other people's money has required me to have a clear vision of the overall goal and the attention to detail it takes to make every nickel count. I've spent my professional career providing services to people of all backgrounds and supervising the people who deliver those services. County government is also in the business of providing service to all of its citizens, and the judge executive's office sets the tone. I will prioritize a balanced budget, and not just one that services debt and operates on a shoestring, but ones that funds the services that we need to support growth. I will work tirelessly to see that Estill County leads the way at rehabilitation and training to restore hope to our families and community. I will actively seek solutions to our unique set of challenges and find partners who value what we have to offer. Thank you.
All right. We've now heard from all seven candidates for the Judge Executive's Office that are here this evening. Now we're going to go to questions.
Next, we're going to move on to the question and answer portion. I'll allow the candidates to draw a question, and then they will have 1 minute to answer the question, and then the field of candidates will be open to answer the question after that. Each candidate will have 1 minute. I'll keep time, so we're going to do it in the order that they're seated. So I'm going to start with Mr. Watson.
And again, you're listening live here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Mr. Watson going to be going first, 1 minute answer, and then it'll be open to the field of candidates. They do have a handheld microphone that they'll be using this evening to answer the questions.
First question is, please list and prioritize three of the most important issues you want to combat if elected county judge. Why are these issues priorities for you? Are these microphones ready?
First thing we need is a balanced budget. There's not a business that I know of anywhere that won't come to a county that's flat dead broke. We need a jail. We need to work on our drug problems that are that have overtaken our young people, and we need to turn things around, and we need to continue to work on our road projects to improve our roads. We've got a lot of problems, folks, a lot of problems that we need to work on, and
we actually need to get our kids in the school system. We need to get what they call an alarm system, metal detector, into the school system. We can cop to Frankfort about that and get them into order to do that. So that way our school systems will be a lot safer and a whole lot better for the students to come to school. You don't have to worry about kids getting shot, just like them kids back there in some other county got shot and all that. That don't need to be happening here. We need to keep our county in the straightest, in the calmest, in upper head. That way we all can keep our heads up. We don't have to worry about walking down through mud and water, drag everybody through it and everything. So we need to keep it up. So that way we can support our veterans and everything. So that way we can keep everything going.
That is Mr. Lambert's response. Next up is Mr. Williams.
Our main priority right now is to get our budget in line, take care of our debt service. We've got a cleaner county up. You know, we do have a beautiful county. I think everybody's mentioned that. But our corridors are a mess, and that takes ordinances, and that takes somebody that's not worried about the next 4 years to get stuff on the record. And also we have to have enforcement. You know, we're sitting here as a county with open borders. We're a broke county right now. You know, a lot of challenging issues to a county that we all have to address. You know, every day I go to work, we're addressing those. But the main priority right now is to, you know, get this county's financial house in order. And that's a huge undertaking. You know, run it like a business, like I said a while ago. It takes choices, and we're making the right choices.
That's Mr. Williams. Now Mr. Walters will answer the question.
I agree wholeheartedly. Number one priority would be balanced budget, and then the second part of that would be finding better resources. How can our revenues be increased? Now, I know we are limited on how we can collect revenue, just like the city. And any change to that, I don't think would come from here. It would come out of Frankfort. I've spoken with Cluster Howard quite a bit. and we spoke about the states like to be a sovereign state. They complain about the national government telling them what to do. I said, well, what are you guys doing to us? You're telling us that we can't be a sovereign state, I mean county or city, and govern ourselves. I think we can, and find new and different ways.
All right, that is Mr. Walters. Next up is Mr. Powell.
I think one of the biggest problems we're having just talking to the people in the county is jail-wise. But what they're not understanding, we have a huge drug problem in our county, and we need a jail big enough to hold them, but we also need a jail big enough to hold some federal where we can actually get some government money from it. But the people that's going to jail that's got drug problems, I think we need a drug rehab center here to unload the jails, because most of our jails is loaded with drugs. I mean, people going to jail for drugs or whatever. So, you know, I believe we need to implement two different things, but we got to get a hold on this landfill. I mean, we must have stricter rules, regulations. They break them, they're going to have to pay. I mean, we're going to have to start forcing people's issues and making them pay if they don't do what we say or break the law like they did last time. They got a smack on the wrist. What'd we get? We got radiation in our landfill. Well, it won't happen if we enforce the laws.
And that was Mr. Powell. Now, Mr. Hart.
I think we all agree that one of the first major issues we got to deal with is the fiscal. Our highest priority right now is getting our arms around the fiscal issues here with the county. And actually, I'd like to commend the county judge executive of where he's the work he's done in the last 3 months, getting his arms around the budget, trying to find the money and follow the trail. For the future, we need a real budget. We need financial controls, transparent fiscal oversight, and fiscal accountability. Illegal drugs, it's a scourge on society. Robs us of our children and our young people. And if we don't do something to save them from that threat, they're going to end up in jail or in an early grave. The county judge executive is in the position that has the stature to organize a task force from law enforcement agencies in the county, enlist the participation and support of Kentucky State Police.
That was Mr. Hart. Now Mr. Richardson's response.
I think I agree with everyone that one of the key issues is getting our finances in line. I think part of that is attracting and bringing money in from other counties. And I think, you know, that would be in the tourism or the restaurants or the small businesses that we have here now to help them, whether they employ two people or up to 10 people, whatever they employ, we could help them out, you know, any way we could. And the third thing I think would be that's part of getting the kids and stuff trained in some type of vocational, something that they can do, a trade or something, and show them that there's a better life than drugs, and, you know, they can make a better life for themselves.
There's Mr. Richardson. Now Ms. Childers will answer the same question.
As judge executive, I will prioritize a budget that manages our money, manages your money, in such a way that it works for you, works for our county. I will seek out partnerships that value what we have to offer and bring something to the table for us as well. I will not rest with the landfill in the situation that it is right now. This cannot be allowed to stand. We must work tirelessly to address this issue and to protect the safety of our children, our citizens, and our county. And we have a responsibility to the other people in our state to protect their water as well. We have a drug crisis that we must address, and we can't jail everybody. We have got to offer services for rehabilitation.
All right, and that was Ms. Childers answering the question. Now Mr. Lambert will draw out a question. It'll be read by our MC this evening, and then they'll proceed in order once again. each one with a minute to respond to the question this evening. We are live at the Estill County High School.
The next question is, in your opinion, what factors keep jobs and industry out of our county? How can we better attract industry? Start with Joseph Lambert. You'll have 1 minute to answer.
I think we need to try to get our community together, because I know they say taxes is high in the county. I know several companies that want to move back in here, but they can't move in here because of the county taxes. And another thing is, I don't buy boats. I don't give out liquor to get boats. I do it the right way, or I won't do it at all. And I'd like everybody's support to do that, because I know that's what's going on, but I don't do it. That's not right. But if you can't do it right, you don't need to be doing it at all. But if I get in office, the judges, if any of these up here helps me, I'll go to them, ask them for questions, and see if they could help me with it, whatever. That's, and be friendly with them, stuff, and help them. I'll do it all again.
All right, that was Mr. Lambert. Now Mr. Williams.
We're all sitting here talking about bringing opportunity and jobs into the county, and that's, you know, that is the main priority. You know, going back to cleaning up the county to make it a visible county when people do pass through, you know, that's a big priority. You know, we have a workforce, but we have, you know, drugs running rampant in our county, and it's affecting every family in this county, which affects our workforce. Somebody mentioned a while ago, Carhartts. They're not the only one having problems keeping people working. So, you know, cleaning our county up, addressing our drug problem, enforcement, all those work hand in hand to attract people into our community. We have a great opportunity for tourism, and we're addressing that. But saying all that, we have to get our house in order first. People don't want to come into a county that's struggling and that doesn't promote a workforce. So those are all issues we're all, you know, faced with, every who takes this and gets this position come January. Thank you.
All right, that was Mr. Williams. Now Mr. Walters, same question.
Again, I will have to agree that too. Just go right out here on the Winchester Road, come in. What do you see? Trash all over the place. You know, I want to turn around and leave myself. So what do you think about people coming in outside to come into our county, into our town, to open businesses? They're looking, they're seeing the same thing. And I'm sure a lot of them will turn around and leave. The other thing I have asked a dozen different times over the last week, if we had a company come in, want to come in here and said we need a workforce of 300 people, can we find 300 people in Estill County that could pass that drug test and be viable workers for the company? And let me tell you, most of the time the people are saying no. Now, I haven't been back around here that long and don't know a lot of the specifics of it.
Now, Mr. Powell will answer the same question.
They're talking about no workforce. 60-some% of our people work out of our county. Why? We have a workforce, but we have to get industries in there to do it. But we got to come up with some reason to offer them. Either you got to either have better roads in and out, and that's what they look for. They look for roads going to the interstates. You've got to have something tax-wise. We, you know, property to offer them, to give them property, whatever we got to do to get them in here. But we got a workforce. I mean, and here's the problem. People get a job out of our town. What do? They move. So we have to come up with some reason to keep our kids, get a job for them to do here. But with my business background, I've started companies from scratch. I built them from ground up, and I went out and I found the work for these companies. So I know what it takes to actually start a business from ground up. It's not, it's a whole lot of work, and most people don't want to do that kind of work. You got to knock on a lot of doors. Thank you.
like to piggyback on the thought that we need to clean the county up, and I certainly agree with that. From a business person investigating Estill County for a possible business venture, what would you think about that, seeing all that trash and garbage and junk on the main thoroughfares leading to the county seat? You know, it's just not very inviting, and it's not a very good first impression. Next, we need to revisit our county ordinances and tax structure to ensure that they are business friendly. Nothing will drive businesses away or keep them away quicker than ordinances and taxes make it difficult or expensive to do business here when they can set up a more profitable operation in a county next door. We need to be competitive in that regard. And the county needs to aggressively market itself as a business-friendly location. The judge executive needs to be the chief marketeer and cheerleader for recruiting potential employers to the county. And it's not a new idea. Other communities have done exactly that and made it happen.
All right, that was Mr. Hart. Now Mr. Richardson.
I still think that we should emphasize more on small businesses in Estill County, promote them. It might bring other small businesses in. I think it would be great if we could get factories. But, you know, right now, start with a small business, tourism, anything like that that we can do to bring other money into the county. Far as the trash, the cleaning up, I still think that the best option on the trash would be some kind of inmate work program. It would get the inmates out of, you know, being incarcerated all day. I'm sure a lot of them would rather be working off the fines as, you know, just being in a cell. And I think that could be worked out. It would take a lot of them out, maybe save us on the cost of, you know, keeping them incarcerated. But I still, small businesses and vocational school or something for the younger people to learn some type of a trade. Thank you.
That was Mr. Richardson's. Now Ms. Childers.
We've always thought of a challenge to our county of bringing in businesses is isolation. We felt isolated. We're back in the boonies. We're in the mountains. But really what we are is a destination. We have so much to offer that people are looking for. And so we need to make sure that people know what we have. And we need to drive that traffic, which will in turn drive our businesses, which will in turn support more. We have that to offer here. We need to make our county attractive, not only in physical appearance. It's beautiful already, but we need to clean it up so you can see it. But we need to maintain that as well, and we need to make ourselves business friendly. We're not going to tax our way out of this crisis that we're in. We're going to grow our way out of this crisis that we're in, and by doing that, we're going to be friendly to businesses, and we're going to be friendly to tourists, and we're going to be friendly.
And that was Mrs. Childers there. Now our MC again tonight will let Mr. Williams draw out the next question, and we'll begin with Mr. Williams.
First off, we're not going to get a big factory, folks. That's just out of it. We couldn't staff, you know, we might get something small. But it would be hard to staff a small factory with the drug situation that we've got. When I worked at train company, they'd bring in sometimes 30, 35 temporaries. We'd wind up with two out of the bunch. This just didn't happen just once. It happened over and over. And we prepared the way for industry when I was county judge. We got the land, and the land's laying there. Carhartt built on it. Nothing else been done since I left office.
Forgive me. That was Mr. Watson answering the same question. Now we'll allow Judge Williams to go ahead and draw out. And he will begin our answering this time.
Next question is, we don't have a new justice center like those in Wolf, Jackson, and Garrett counties. How would you address the lack of space in our own courthouse? Mr. Williams.
No, we don't have a judicial center, and that's been a topic of conversation, and I've been meeting off and on for the last week, trying to upgrade what we have now. It's built by, you know, people of this county, and the stones are cut. And years ago, we felt like preserving our courthouse was the way to go. You know, we're working every day to come up with ideas to make our courthouse safer, make it more inviting. You know, judicial centers are nice, and they're funded by the state. You know, they're the Taj Mahals. But when you bring the Taj Mahals in, you lose your downtown landscape, because it usually takes 15 or 20 buildings out or a block out. You know, we're having a hard time operating on what we're doing now. We've lost AOC monies that's moved across the street, the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, and things over the years. That amounted to about $60,000 out of the county budget that a small county budget could really use. So, you know, we're looking at improving our present courthouse right now.
And that was Judge Williams. Now we'll go to Mr.
I'm
Walters.
Go back to the one thing that we all seem to agree on, that we, our major problem, the opioid crisis. I don't think you're going to legislate this away. I don't think you're going to use the law to do away with it. It is going to have to be a cultural change of the mind. And this is where I think our biggest asset, you're sitting right here, the parents of these children and others, training them as they come up, discipline them, let them know that it's not acceptable what's happening. It's just a way of life. Plus, there's another factor, too. I'm told, and I don't know this, I'm told that there are some 150 churches in this county. I have also already spoken to several pastors, and I think they have to step up as a community, not as a Baptist, as a Catholic, as a Nazarene. They have to step up as a community.
All right. That was Mr. Walters. Now, Mr. Powell.
Yeah, I believe, you know, Kevin's pretty much right on that. You know, our county right now couldn't afford a bigger system. That means more people, more money. Right now, we got to get back to where we're at zero. Later on, if, you know, more business or we can generate more money, yeah, it'd be real nice to have a lot nicer, more efficient system. But that's years down the road. I mean, I can't see. It's going to take years for whoever gets this position. It's not going to be an overnight fix. So everybody that votes needs to understand this is not going to be a 1-2 year fix. I mean, it's going to take somebody hard work every day and putting some committees and stuff together to help. One man ain't going to do it. I can tell you right now, he's going to have to form and get some other people involved to try to straighten this county out. But later on down the road, yeah, if there's plenty of money and we see that it's growing, it'd be nice to have one.
All right. Now, Mr. Richardson.
To be honest with you, I had considered the topic of building a new justice center. If you do that, what are you going to do with the courthouse? I'm not saying it's not the right idea, because that courthouse is cramped, and there's a lot of things we could be doing that we can't because there's no room. So how did these other counties find the money to build a new justice center that's you know, got a footprint 3 or 4 times the size of the one we have here? I don't know, and I think Kevin mentioned something about we can get money from the state to help build that. We need to look at it, and I'm sure if there's an opportunity there, we can go after getting the money, and then we have to decide where do you want to build it. So all questions to be answered, and certainly perhaps some opportunities there for the future.
That was Mr. Richardson. Now, Mr. Childers.
I feel like if the courthouse and stuff we have that is serving the purpose, I think anytime you get grants or whatever, if you can do improvements, that's fine. But anytime you get money granted, somebody still, it's coming out of the taxpayer's pocket. If the courthouse is serving its purpose and it might need a little fixing up every now and then, or maybe at some time looking at expanding it, I would be open to that. But I don't think that, you know, I would be wanting the county to take on any more debt to build something new, build a new facility.
All right, that was Mr. Childers. I'm sorry, Mr. Richardson. Now, Ms. Childers.
Before I would take on the challenge of building a new justice center, I would feel that it would be more fiscally responsible to explore options that we already have. We have a downtown. We have a lot of buildings. We have a lot of space. There are options that are available to us now that may not have always been available in terms of technology and things that we are able to do. I don't necessarily think that this would be high on my list of priorities right now to pursue this.
Right. Now, Ms. Childers, we'll hand over to Mr. Watson. You are listening here live from the Estill County High School.
When I was county judge, we had the courthouse sandblasted, cleaned on the outside. I think it's a beautiful old building, and I would not be in favor of doing anything to it. If we can solve our drug problem, though, we won't need as much space in the courthouse. That's where all the crowd comes from when you have court.
All right. Now, Mr. Watson, we'll hand the mic to Mr. Lambert.
We also need to work on the drug problem here, but it don't do no good if the judges let them go. They come back in, you can bust them. We need the DEA enforcement in on this. If we have to work together with the government or whatever, we will get the DEA to work on the drug enforcement. That's what we needed in here in Estill County, because all the drug systems is bad. I know what this county was when I was a kid, because I remember it used to be drug-free. You wouldn't have to worry about that stuff when you walk down the road and stuff. You could walk down without finding needles or anything like that. Now you walk down the road, you find needles. You hear about overdosing, kids overdosing and stuff. It's just not working. We need to get our community straightened up.
All right, that was Mr. Lambert. Now our MC will let Mr. Walters draw out the next question, and he will begin our next round here. Again, you are listening live from the Estill County High School. My name's Ethan, live and local for Pickup Country 104.9. This broadcast is planned to be re-aired next Wednesday at 1 o'clock, so if you missed a portion of it, you'll have another opportunity.
The next question is, we live in a region where most of our communities are facing the same issues. What approach would you take to work with our region to address these issues?
All right. First, community we'll go to Mr. action, Walters.
Community involvement. It won't be my job just to say, hey, this is it. That's what we're going to do. No, it'll be through committees. It'll be through input from every person in this county. I will sit down with anybody that wants to come in that office and sit down and offer a solution or a suggestion. And as I said before, if it's me, I hope these gentlemen here will get in there with me and let's sit down, because each one of them I know has in their heart things that they think is good for this county. All right? Let's share those. Let's just swallow our pride and let's help each other the county.
All right. That was Mr. Walters. Now Mr. Powell will respond.
There really is a lot more stuff that even our surrounding counties and even some of the stuff. We've got a lot of people in this county that has resources to actually help this county a lot more than they are. But, you know, with this, every day I go to work, one thing I do, and that's pray to God, give me the wisdom and the knowledge. That's the only thing I've ever prayed for in my life. And that's the reason I still do my job like it is. I've never had a job fail. And I don't know how I run the companies that I did until I realized, you know, it's because I asked God for the wisdom and the knowledge to know what I do, to give it to me. But you've got people in this county right now that has deep pockets and deep connections everywhere. They can make a lot more stuff happen in this county than you would believe. We just got to tap into it.
All right, that was Mr. Powell. Now, Mr. Hart.
I think I'd like to piggyback on that and agree that we've got a lot of talent here in the county. You mentioned neighboring counties. There are opportunities there. We don't have to reinvent the wheel on everything. Other people have successful ideas.
We can plagiarize those ideas. There's no reason not to. I think the county judge executive needs to pull together, it's not just the county judge executive, it's the magistrates, pull in business leaders, engage them, and, you know, there's help available from the state as well to help you plan to do these things. And I think we could, we need to go investigate those opportunities there to help us put together a strategic plan and make it work.
All right, it's Mr. Hart. Now Mr. Richardson will answer the question.
Is it too much to ask to read the question again? I didn't, you know, when you read it, it's kind of hard. Do you have a hard time hearing? I think we're all having a hard time on this end.
Question was, we live in a region where most of our communities are facing the same issues. What approach would you take to work with our region to address these issues?
Well, I'm still not sure that I understood the question, but, I would agree that anybody not understood it, hear the question very well. But I would agree that anybody in the community or whatever that can reach out and help, or if they know somebody through the state or Frankfurt or wherever that would, help with any kind of design and any kind of ideals, anything that would help the community bring money in, I think it'd be a good idea. I work with the Bluegrass Area Development District quite often. I know there's some things that, you can work with them. They'll try to do anything to help the community. There's other places, Pride, there's different areas that people could tap into.
All right, that was Mr. Richardson, now Ms. Childers.
Any strategic plan that we develop has to include our partners. It has to include our surrounding counties. We're all a community here. We oftentimes in the past have looked toward Madison County, have looked toward Fayette County, and they are in our proximity and they do figure into our plan. But we also can be looking at the Red River Gorge, and we can also be looking at Natural Bridge. These places are attractions that people are traveling from around the world to visit, and we offer much of the same opportunities here. So whenever we talk about forming partnerships, we need to think in terms of we're a rural county with rural needs and rural issues. So those are the folks that we want to partner with to make the most of those opportunities and to find the best answers for those challenges.
All right, that was Ms. Childers. Now Mr. Watson will answer the question.
When I was county judge, we had the Estill County Development Corporation, and we also had the Estill County Industrial Development Corporation, which we put together. We also had a solid waste committee, and Barbara Perry here, she was on that committee when we got the agreement with the landfill. And I didn't act entirely on my own. A lot of times we had committees that we talked to, and we got suggestions from, and they worked. We had people on that committee that was for the landfill. We had people on the committee that was against the landfill, and Barbara was one of them that was against it. And we tried to work with people in all across the county in a broad spectrum to make improvements and work to improve our county so that we could have more.
All right. That was Mr. Watson. Now Mr. Lambert will answer the question.
It's just like he was saying, we all need to work together. In this district county, Estill County, we need to work with Lee County. We need to work with Owsley, Jackson, McKee, Winchester, Clark County. We all need to work with everybody we can, get them the help, and then we all can help each other. Not just try to, it don't matter if you're Democrat or Republican, everybody needs to quit their bickering and start working together and get help one another. If one helps one, this one helps this, it don't matter. You need to get them all together. You all need to work together.
That's Mr. Lambert. Now Judge Williams.
As I said earlier, together we're better in moving our county forward. We've got a lot of great energy in our county with a lot of our different boards. We have a lot of action groups. We have a lot of concerned citizens in this county that are involved. You know, we're looking at the regional concept, and that's kind of where it's at this day and age. You know, we talk about our bigger counties and our smaller counties, but, you know, we have got things set up and they're in place to move this county forward. I drop back again, though. We've got to have a mechanism to move it forward, and that takes money. And until we get our financial house in order, you know, it's a struggle. And like I say, you know, we've got big plans for this county, and there's been big plans all along. And, you know, we're going to get there. The first thing we got to do is get through this fiscal year. You know, I tell the frowns to smiles is what we got to do.
All right, that was Judge Williams. Now, our next candidate here at the candidate forum. Again, this is Democrats and Republicans and Independents, all mixed. There are eight candidates tonight.
The next question is, Estill County needs better access to Mountain Parkway. How would you go about seeking improvements on Highways 89 and 82 leading to Mountain Parkway?
First answer will be Mr. Powell.
Actually, that's already been looked at, and actually the best way they're looking at doing it is actually going across White Oak. White Oak Dry Branch that way. It's not but like 3 to 4 miles to Mountain Parkway. That's already in process. It might be 10 years down the road. But, you know, we know it's already there. That the only way we'll ever get companies, we already got 52. 52 is a good road to 75. We get to Mountain Parkway. You have to have access to the interstates or you're not going to get much here. And, I mean, you know, I talk about companies. In the late 80s, early 90s, I brought a company here. We went over and looked at the Carhartt. They come back the next morning and offered us the card. I said, we can bring this here. We can hire 15 to 20 people. It was a government contract. It's right now, it's still running in Moorhead, still operating. They asked me $15,000 a month for that building.
So, Mr. Powell, now Mr. Hart will respond.
Access to the Mountain Parkway. I understand there's a plan in play to make that happen. We need to stay on top of that as a county, working with our state representative and our state senator to make sure that gets funded and make sure it stays out there in front and moving forward, or it can get lost in the shuffle. And so we need to be proactive about that and keep pushing that and stay in front of them, in their face, if you will, to make sure that that is moving forward and becomes a priority for the state to make it happen.
All right, that was Mr. Hart. Now Mr. Richardson will respond.
I think there has been some improvements made to Kentucky 89. I live on it, or I live beyond it. I travel it every day, and I know it's a terrible road. There's a lot of trucking and stuff on it. It seems like it's breaking the roadsides down. But if they ever decide, I know it would be a big undertaking to go through White Oak to cut across, and I'm sure it would be in a 20-year road plan or something, but I do think there needs to be improvements to Highway 89 and 82 because of the trucking that's on it, you know, every day. A lot of people travel it, commuting back and forth to work, and I think it's probably one of the most dangerous roads in the county to travel.
All right, that was Mr. Richardson. Now Ms. Childers will respond.
I think improved access to the Mountain Parkway would have to be a part of a strategic plan, a long-term plan that we build for our county, and that we work with our state representatives and our state government to fund, but we need to be the drivers of that project. We need to know what we want, we need to know what we need, and we need to map that out and present that to them and request the funding, not have this dictated to us. We need to be in charge of this. And it is something that we've talked about for a very long time and something that we do need. But it would have to be a part of a long-term plan for our county.
All right, that was Mrs. Childers. Now Mr. Watson will answer the question.
I hate to sound like a repeat, but that was one of the proposals that I took to Frankfurt in 1984 in December. And you can look at it in the court order book on November the 30th, 1984. That was in one of the road proposals that came out of the Estill County Development Corporation, where we discussed the changes that need to be made in the county. It was going out White Oak. And that's a great undertaking, and it's probably way down the road, folks. But we've got good access to 75 through Richmond from the industrial park. It's right off the bypass. So, you know, we've already got a road system in. We just need to work on getting some industry, some small things, not something big.
All right. That was Mr. Watson. Now Mr. Lambert will answer the same question.
Well, I talked to one of the informants. It's over that road department that should bring the takeover roads out, bring it through White Oak. They have got the blueprints on that. I've seen them. My big brother has seen them because it's going to take his house and everything, but still yet, it would be a nice opportunity to have that road go through. So that way we can have an easier access to keep the truckers from hitting kids and stuff like that on school buses. You got to think about the school buses, the kids getting off the school buses, the truckers. Sometimes they might have brakes failure or something. You never know when they break down or whatever they break. You got kids standing out there on the road. You got to look at the kids, not the daggone truckers. The truckers' fault if it comes down to it. But they hit the bus, it kills. And I hope it don't kill nobody. But we need to keep these truckers off the road as much as possible. But we have to have our food come in and go out.
All right. Now, Judge Williams.
Well, I guess I'd like to announce tonight that the couple of trips I have been to Frankfurt, we have prioritized our road list, and 89 and 82 is in the six-year plan from the 89-82 intersection to Hudson Mill Road, and we'll line up with the Salem curve. So we are making progress. We've got four road projects that I'm working very hard with the magistrates and Senator Robinson and Representative Harold to keep in the road projects list on the six-year plan. So, you know, that's a positive thing. We're keeping it in. Also, the realignment of Main Street will continue. The end of 89 in the Palmer area will continue to the bridge. So, you know, there's good things coming. You know, it just takes, you know, staying on our representatives, you know, letting them know that we are watching them and we are monitoring them and holding them accountable.
All right, that was Judge Williams. Now Mr. Walters will respond.
I'll be very blunt and frank about that. I am not an engineer, so just want to say one thing about it. The good road coming in also is a good road going out. And if you don't believe me, go to Walmart with me and watch me campaign.
All right. Next, Mr. Hart will draw a question, and we'll proceed in order. Again, you are listening to the live broadcast of the candidate forum for Judge Executive live from the Estill County High School. These are Estill County candidates, eight of them. I said seven earlier because that's who was expected to come, but an additional candidate showed up, which is great.
The next question is, we are all aware of the tin orm currently stored in our landfill. What regulations would you put in place so that this doesn't happen in the future?
This goes to Mr. Hart first.
The corrective action plan that's been actually the agreed order between the Energy and Environment Cabinet and Advanced Disposal put into place the fact that they had to install radiation monitors at the entrance, and they're actually set at the scales. And then as part of their corrective action plan, they were to implement new policies and procedures for how they would monitor that, and if they did find anything coming in, as to how they would react to that, isolate any vehicles that had excess radioactive readings, and how they would pursue dealing with those. Actually, those procedures are in place, and the radiation monitors are in place and up and running. Anybody that's been to the landfill lately, you can see them just before you go on to the scales. as you enter onto the scales. So actually those things are in place.
All right. That was Mr. Hart. Now, Mr. Richardson, same question.
I don't know exactly, you know, how what they have is preventative to prevent it from happening, but I do think it needs to be monitored where that if a truck comes in, it's monitored close enough that it's caught before it's unloaded. I think there needs to be a camera system set up and all the trucks monitored and, you know, a file kept of them, what goes in for a length, you know, a fairly lengthy amount of time. To make sure that, you know, if something comes in and it accidentally gets by or whatever, at least you got some kind of, maybe you can track it down by a truck number, a license number, or a way ticket. There should be some way to monitor it, but it should be caught before it ever makes it into the landfill.
All right. That was Mr. Richardson. Now Ms. Childers will respond.
Our county has a host community agreement, and we have a solid waste coordinator's position. Both of those things can serve us well if we use them to our advantage, if we actually put some teeth into those. We have a situation right now that is unresolved in terms of T-Norm being in our landfill. If this, in my opinion, goes unaddressed and is allowed to continue, I see no reason why they would think that they should ever do anything different. So I believe that we have two plans of action. We have what we currently have in place, and we need to enforce it. And we have the option to pursue this and to see that they realize that we are a county who wants to benefit from having a good partner, not a county who wants to be dumped on.
All right. That was Mrs. Childers' response. Now Mr. Watson will respond. Again, you're listening live here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. So glad you're tuned in this evening.
As I've already said, we had a 10-year host agreement with the landfill. This should not have gone into the landfill. I don't know who let the ball fall, but anyway, there were restrictions within this host agreement that should not have taken place. And the landfill was monitored. We had a landfill monitor that was certified, and when I was at in office, and he kept up with this, and they also had cameras that took pictures of the trucks going in, so, and he checked the manifest to see where the loads came from, and that was a regular part of his job assignment.
All right, that was Mr. Watson. Now Mr. Lambert.
I know the landfill. I know I lived here for 45 years. I know the landfill. But here's the problem. We got garbage going into that landfill that don't need to be in the landfill. Say like metal, like cans, paper plates, stuff like that can be recycled. We need to get something done about that. That way that we all can open up, that way we can have a recycling. Estill County would be the first one to be recycled. That's what I would do when I got in the office. That way we could have less in the landfill, you won't have to have that much waste in the landfill. But if you knew what was coming off of the garbage, I know because I've been in it, I know what it smells like. And it's not good for the kids out here at the high school because I've been there and done it.
All right, that was Mr. Lambert. Now Judge Williams will respond to the same question.
Mr. Hart, he hit it right. You know, there's a lot of safeguards that are in place. You know, some of the best safeguards, people can still do things that we don't appreciate and shouldn't be allowed in our landfill. Presently with litigation that's going on, you know, it may be a year, it may be years before, you know, this is resolved. But after today's rulings and stuff, and I'm not really at liberty to go into a whole lot of stuff, being in the position I am. I think you know my record. The last time they tried to bring Norm in on us back when I sat on the fiscal court, we kept it out with our action committees and stuff and went to Frankfort. But, you know, if we don't get some resolve on this, I think the fiscal court eventually here, sooner than later, will take some action. If it means shutting it down, we'll go that route. But saying much more than that right now in litigation that we're in and stuff. I can't really comment a whole lot more, but it is being addressed every day.
All right. That was Judge Williams. Now, Mr. Walters.
Again, I'll be very blunt about it. I will settle for nothing less than that whole thing be moved out of here. Get it out of Estill County. If you think you can go up there and throw two to fours in there with nails in them and run those dozers and so on over them, and they won't puncture that rubber liner, you still believe in Santa Claus. So I would settle for nothing less but to get that whole thing out of here, because it is polluting us. And along that line, why do we have so much cancer in this community? Probably per capita, we have more cancer than anybody in the country. Now, there are some organizations out there, people, that can come in here, either state, federal, whatever, and will help us find out what is causing this. We can't fix it until we know what it is. The other thing, why do we have such high insurance rates in the county? Again, we need a study to find out. We can't fix it unless we know what it is.
All right. That was Mr. Walters.
Now,
Mr. Powell.
I've got, you're going to allow the landfill to monitor themselves. If you remember, they couldn't even find where they dumped it. So how are they going to keep up with and ensure us, Estill Countyans, that they're going to do what's right? I mean, the problem is oversight. You let a thief put your door locks in, he's going to get in. So we have to come up with better solutions somehow. I mean, it could cost the county a lot of money just to monitor this, and we're going to have to see if it's actually worth it. I mean, because we cannot allow somebody like them that's all in it for the money. It's all money. It doesn't mean nothing about cleaning our state up. It's about just how much money they can make and what they can do to us. They don't care what happens here. Most of them don't live here. The guys that owns that landfill does not live in Estill County. Why? That's what you need to be asking yourself. Make them move out there next to the landfill and see how long they stay, or if they change their ways of how they do business.
All right. Our next question will be directed to Mr. Richardson. He will be drawing out. Again, appreciate our MC and timekeeper this evening. You are listening to the live broadcast of the Estill County Community Forum.
The next question is, what do you think Estill County could do to get the Kentucky River Park project back on track? You have 1 minute.
The park I know is kind of in a out in a remote area. I think that the best thing that happened for the park is the road widening and stuff. I would really think that maybe I don't know that the county could afford to do a lot, but if some people would have maybe could volunteer or something and go out and do some work. The biggest thing is if you invest a lot in it and you invest a lot in the infrastructure out there, is you're going to have to monitor it, or you're going to have to protect it or guard it from vandalism and stuff. And I think that's probably the biggest holdback, is if you go out and you do any type of work out there, there needs to be some way to where, you know, I know when they first put the bathrooms and stuff in, I don't think they lasted a month. Somebody went in and vandalized them. I don't know if it would be through the sheriff's department or maybe constables or something, it needs to be looked at daily just to try to prevent vandalism.
All right. That was Mr. Richardson. Now Ms. Childers will respond.
Kentucky River Park is unfortunately an example of things that we see often. We get off on the right foot and we take that first step, but then we kind of falter. We don't make it through to that second step, and we don't really utilize to the fullest what we have to offer. It's a wonderful location. It's a wonderful opportunity. In order for us to get it back on track, I think we need to find the people who are truly going to appreciate it, not the people who are going to vandalize it, and bring those people on board, because there are funds available. We have to be the ones to seek those funds out, and we have to be the ones to secure those funds. The county judge's office does. And then we need to promote that park, and if it's being used regularly in the manner that it's supposed to be, we don't have to worry about it being vandalized. We don't have to worry about finding funds to keep it going. It can sustain itself.
All right, that was Mrs. Childers. Now Mr. Watson will answer.
To be honest with you, I haven't kept up with the park. I've not been out to the park. And I can't really give you an answer on that, to be honest with you.
All right, Mr. Lambert now will respond.
We need to get the park where we can get it up where kids can play and stuff. We need to. Where that they can go out and not have to have garbage, debris and stuff like that come from off the river into the park. We don't need that in the rest of the county. We need to keep our system clean as much as possible.
All right, that was Mr. Lambert's response. Now Judge Williams will respond.
We do have a very beautiful asset out there, and that is something that I think we're all very interested in developing. Just today and yesterday, I've been on the phone a couple times over the last 80 days promoting the park as far as grant monies, CDBG monies through the ad, also through Senator McConnell's office, and talking with Congressman Barr today. Actually, he called me on his cell phone. So the park is a great interest of mine. It's a beautiful location. You know, we've got to do something with it. If not, in a few years, I'm sure that the ownership of it will revert back. I think there's some language in that. So it is a great opportunity for camping, the river, develop a few ball fields as we can go. I mean, we've already got the football and the soccer doing stuff, but it's a great asset to us, and we've got to concentrate on it more, and that's what I'm doing now is reaching out, trying to look for grant monies and for line items and budgets.
I really have no comment on the park. Just one last thing to say. You want to help the county? Let's eliminate the good old boy network, and let's work for everybody.
All right, that was Mr. Walters' response. Now,
the
Mr.
park
Powell.
Down there is probably as beautiful a place you'll find in the state of Kentucky if it's done right. And if it's done right, it'll actually generate quite a bit of money back into our county. It'll easily fund itself. It'll take a few years, like Kevin said. You're not going to make all this happen. But I used to hunt and fish down there. I've covered every ounce of that ground. I've been on it. It's just, I mean, wildlife. I've talked to Fish and Wildlife about it. You know, they're interested in some programs with it. Camping is huge this day and time. You can make a lot of money putting campground down there and renting spots, and it's a beautiful place for it. Canoeing, I mean, to me, I wouldn't put a boat ramp in. I would make it just like canoe access only to kind of tone it down to the point, you know, to kind of keep it in a certain group, like the campers and trail people. Wildlife down there is just abundant. I mean, you can see anything you want, but it's a great access to our county.
All right, that was Mr. Powell. Now, Mr. Hart.
I have to say that I'm not really familiar with the with the park, but it sounds to me, as Ms. Childers said, that you know, we got started on this. We didn't come up with a plan to carry it through on developing it. And if it's something that we want as the county, we need to step back and replan this and look at those issues of vandalism, look at the issues of access, and how we're going to address it to move forward and make it happen for us.
All right, folks. Again, you are listening to the Estill County Judge Executive Public Forums. This is not along any particular party line. Ms. Childers is now drawing what I think will be the last question of this evening. And she will be our first answer as well. Again, we appreciate our timekeepers, organizers, MCs.
Question is, do you support merging the three local governments of Irvine, Ravenna, and Estill County? Why or why not? In 1 minute.
This is a hot topic. And this is something that has been a hot topic in our county for a very long time. There are pros and cons, of course, but a huge pro is to think in terms of how can we maximize our resources. And it would make sense if we did merge these three governments and found a way so that everyone is represented and so that we don't hear this excuse or this argument all the time, well, I can't go there, they tax me too much. I don't want to be over here because I don't get any services. I don't want to be out in the county because I don't get anything out there. We are one community, and we're not that big of a community. So we do need to be working together. And whether we merge our governments or not, our governments must work together and remember that we are working for the whole.
All right, that was Ms. Childers. Now Mr. Watson will answer that question.
To be honest with you, I'm not for it. I'm not for merging the county and the two cities together. If the cities want to merge, that's left up to the two cities. But as far as merging the county and all into one, an urban county government, that's something like Fayette County's got. You know, we're not our landscape. We're just not in a situation to do that. I don't feel like, and I would not be for it, just to be honest with you.
All right, Mr. Lambert.
It's like
now
the city and the county, they're trying to get the county to get the city to extend the city limits out to the bypass. We don't need that. Actually, the county needs to stay the county, the city needs to stay in the city. That way that the city, whatever happens in the city, will stay in the city. What happens in the county will happen in the county. We would actually all have to work together to do what we have to do to keep the county and the city merged the way it should be. That way we keep all of our government straight, we keep all of our paperwork straight. If a piece of paper gets lost, well, we got to show.
All right, that was Mr. Lambert. Now Judge Williams.
You know, I've always been about community and working together, we're better. You know, I've it's been brought up over and over the years and stuff, of mergers and stuff, and I've always took the position I felt like in a smaller county with basically right now three broke governments and duplications of services, tons of elected officials. There's something we need to study more and get a framework. You know, I've mentioned before about urban service boundaries, having a different taxation system within a five-mile radius of the downtown area, and then it's a cheaper rate outside. A lot of studies could be done on that, but I think we're at the point where we're really going to have to bring that topic back up. Nothing that will be done in the next probably 2 to 4 to 6 years, but it is something that we need to keep discussing as a community to be more competitive for grants and stuff, because monies are being very hard to find and come up with, and we're all competing against each other right now.
All right, that was Judge Williams. Now we've got Mr. Walters.
I am noncommittal on that, but I'd say if there is some interest in it, that we should, as Kevin has said, do a study. Show me the facts. How can you ask anybody to act on anything just thrown out there with no facts backing up any part of a plan?
All right, that was Mr. Walters. Now Mr. Powell will respond.
You know, right now there's no sense in the county asking Irvin or Ravenna to merge with them. What do we have to offer them? I mean, it will work, and it would work a lot better because your insurance is, I mean, are you far rates? Everything would go down because we could actually offer 24-hour service. We could actually, you know, out in the county too, which they have it. But, you know, it's not like the city where the city has somebody on, like a police officer or fire department. They're there 24 hours a day. So, I mean, it would actually help the county, too, if we could merge it. But we've got to get the county in a position where we can offer them something in return. I mean, right now, they're going to have to offer us something. And, you know, it's going to take, like Kevin said, this ain't going to happen in 2 or 3 years. I mean, it's way on down the road. But I believe sooner or later, I think it will, you know, all three will come together.
All right. That was Mr. Powell. Now Mr. Hart will respond.
From a business standpoint, you can't argue with the merger. You know, right now with the duplication of services, we got fire departments, we got police departments, we got city governments, and all those city services, that you could combine them and do it better with fewer resources. I mean, there's no argument. You can't. So merging it with the county government, first, the two cities have to come to terms with the fact that we can take better care of our citizens if we are merged. And that argument's got to take place between the two city governments. And then as far as combining with the county, perhaps down the road, might make good sense across the board. But certainly combining those services from 2-1 or 3-1, you can't help but do it more efficiently.
All right, that was Mr. Hart. Now Mr. Richardson will respond.
I think it might be something that people might look at in the future. Right now, I don't think it's probably the time. Like I say, seem like the cities, the county, both is broke and needing to, you know, bring money in. I don't know that would be the answer, but far as living out in the county, I've always preferred to live in the county. I think it's my choice, and I live on the far end of it. I think if you want the amenities or whatever that you get from the city, if you want to move in the city, that's fine. I just don't think that what the city's got to offer would help me as far out as I live, and I don't think what the county's got to offer as far out as I am would, you know, really help the city that much. I just really prefer that people out in the county, I know a lot of people, you know, they've got farms or whatever. I think sometimes when you merge government, maybe the city might be trying to tell the county whether or not they could have a certain type of farm, and I don't think it's right for the county to tell the city what kind of business they can have.
All right, that was Mr. Richardson responding there.
Thank you all for your responses. Thank you all for participating in this evening's forum. Once again, we would like to thank our sponsors, the Estill County Public Library, represented by Kathy Watson, Estill Action Group, represented by Lindsay Rogers. We would also like to thank Jeff Saylor and the Estill County Public Schools for allowing us to use the school facilities to host the forum tonight. And a special thanks to Teresa Dawes for her assistance in preparing for and helping to coordinate the event. And finally, please give a big round of applause to Chris Winkler and the high school staff for hosting us. We'd also like to thank the following partners for publicizing and offering assistance with this event: Lisa Bicknell and the Citizens Voice and Times, Dolores Patrick and the Estill Tribune, Loretta McPherson with V99.3, 1550 WIRV, and 100.7 The Coyote, Lindsay Rogers and Ethan Moore with Pickup Country 104.9. I'll turn it back over to Lindsay Rogers. Thank you.
Thank you, John, for moderating our very first forum, and thank you, Ian, for acting as timekeeper tonight. Let's give one more final round of applause for all of our candidates that came this evening. We have Rhonda Stone Childers, Thomas H. Hart, Joseph Glenn Lambert, Gary Wayne Powell, Dwight Earl Richardson, Donnie Russell Watson, and Kevin T. Williams. The next forum will be scheduled for Thursday, March 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. here at the Estill County High School Auditorium, and will feature the Estill County Sheriff candidates. And please make plans to come out and hear what those candidates have to say as well. And once again, thank you all for your attendance and participation tonight. So please gather your belongings and exit the building. Thank you, guys.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. The first of the Estill County Political Forums. We are going to be back here for the Sheriff's Community Forum, but that's going to be coming up here in about a week. And we look forward to you tuning in for that. Today's audio will be posted at WSKBFM.com. Look for the Estill County Community Forum link there. You'll be able to click on that and get that as soon as it's accessible there. Likewise, the Actioneers have posted it to their Estill Action Group page. WSKB Pickup Country has shared that on the WSKB FM Facebook page, so you can go back and check it out. And again, we do appreciate back in the studio Ms. Caitlin Powell for helping us here on air tonight. We are going to go ahead and switch back over to regular broadcast at this time. And again, thank you from the Estill County High School. This is Ethan, live and local for Pickup Country 104.9.